Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Maseches Avodah Zarah, Daf Dalet. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara that we will be starting with on Daf Dalet begins several lines from the top. You'll notice on the first of the widest lines a name, Rav Chinino Bar Papa, with a double underline. From that point, we will be beginning. Before we actually learn the Gemara, let's glance at the side, at the outside margin. You notice a heading called Mivneh. This represents a structural note that is designed to explain the role of the markings in each sukya. So as we noted, we have a double underline and a diamond. This is explained. Ha'alos stirois b'psukim. We are going to be raising what seems to be discrepancies or contradictions in psukim, in verses, shemitarim tchunoisov shol ribono shel olam, that describe the different attributes of God. So, as we begin, Rav Chinino Bar Papa Rami, he raises a contradiction or an inconsistency. Ksiv, on the one hand, it says, shakai lo matzonuhu sagi koach. Shakai, one of the names of God, we don't find him with enough energy, strength. Uksiv Godoil Adonenu Varav Koach. Another pasuk describes the Almighty as having massive amounts of strength. Uksiv Yimincho Hashem Nedoriba Koach. Another pasuk describing the Kodesh Baruch Hu with great strength. So how does one resolve these psukim where one indicates him appearing as not having great strength and not having massive strength, and the other seeming to portray the Almighty of having abundant amount of strength? Lo kasha, there's no discrepancy, no contradiction. Kan b'shas hadin, kan b'shas milchoma. It all depends. If it's the time of war, then the Almighty unleashes his boundless strength, if you will. However, at the time of din, at the time of judgment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu restrains himself, so he appears as if he doesn't have boundless strength. Rashi points out, on the fourth line from the top, or the end of the third line, Lo matzunu shiei sagi koyach be'es hadin. We don't find him having boundless amount of strength at the time of judgment. Im yasgi koychoi, if he would have endless strength, Yischaivu kulam kloya, then all of the universe would deserve destruction. In other words, if at the time of judgment HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not restrain himself and would judge by letter of the law, the entire cosmos would cease to exist. Therefore, he restrains this strength and views and judges the world with mercy. Rav Chama Bar Chanina Rami, this is another Rav. He also raises a discrepancy in psukim. Ksiv chemo einli. One pasuk describes God as having no wrath. Uksiv nokem Hashem ubal chemo. The vengeful God that is full of, that contains, that is full of strength, of wrath. Before we go further, let's just glance at the topic heading that we've assigned to this particular Gemara. The nosei, you can see in the outside margin, it says, Din shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Yisrael shayna midinoi lagoyim. The way God judges the Jewish people is different than the way he judges the idol worshippers. And hence we have these two psukim, one saying, I don't have wrath, and the one other one saying, I'm full of wrath. Lo kashya. Kan b'Yisrael, kan ba'ovdei kechavim. One is referring to the way he judges the Jews, and the other is describing the way he judges the idol worshippers. Rav Chinino Bar Papa Omar, Chemo Einli. We will notice after we go through this line of Gemara, we'll look at Rashi, and according to this approach, the two psukim are both dealing with Yisrael, as opposed to the first approach that said Kan b'Yisrael, Kan b'Avdi k'chovim. So Rav Chinen of Bar Popa says, Chemo einli, I don't have wrath, Shekvar nishbati, because I already swore, Mi yitneni shelo nishbati, Eye shomir v'shayas. Had I not sworn, then I would have been full of wrath, and everything would have turned into desolation. Let's take a look at the Rashi. On the first narrow line, Rav Acha bar Chanina Omar, Travayu b'Israel, both psukim are dealing with the Jews. V'hochi komar, afapi shebal chemo ani, even though I, in fact, contain wrath, chemo ainli, kvar nishbati mi k'tsof alecha. I don't show my wrath because I've already sworn that I shall not express my anger. Mi yitneni, seifa dahai krohu. Rashi points out that the section of the Gemara that says mi yitneni shelo nishbati hashom v'shayis is the end of the posuk. Shomer v'shayis, Rashi says, loshon eretz gezeira v'churban. It's an expression indicating destruction. The dugmaso in the posuk in Echa reflects this very idea. Now, as we continue in the Gemara, we notice a triangle. The explanation of this little piece of Gemara, in fact, is a machlokis Rashi and Tosfos. Before we go further, though, let us glance at the side where we have a structural note explaining the role of this marking, of this triangle. And you'll notice on the side the mivneh, and a triangle is featured. Sidra shel psukim im hesber shemitar mecha kodesh brochu don esbri yosef. We will have a series of psukim that describe how the kodesh brochu judges his creations. So, as we look in the Gemara, v'hainu d'omar of Alexandri, we noticed above that we've written in Machlokis, Rashi, and Tosfos. So let's glance at the Tosfos, who incorporates the Rashi's explanation and introduces his own later. So the Tosfos says, v'hainu d'omar of Alexandri, pirusha kuntris, dekoi, that this comment that we haven't learned yet, is going on ahi d'komrinu li'el de'en ha'kodesh baruch hu bo b'truna imbri yosef. It's referring to the comment made on the previous daf, on daf Gimel, which says that Kodesh, which stated that Kodesh Baruch Hu does not come with a heavy-handed form of judgment, with vengeful, which with vengeance upon his creations. However, the Tosfos himself says Velo Nihiro Pirusho. It doesn't appear that this is the actual pshat. The ha ifsik le tuva, because between that comment of Eina Kodesh Bo Bo Betrunya Imbris Ibriosov, there's a big gap in Gemara in time till we get to this particular Vahainu Domel Alexandri. Therefore, Venira le Rabbeinu Tam, the koi aha de solik. That it's more appropriate to ascribe Rav Alexandri's comment here on that which was mentioned just before, that said that stated a distinction between Kan b'Yisrael, Kan b'Avdi k'chovim, the Kwam Rinon, the Baal Chemo Koy Avdi k'chovim, and we said that the pasuk describing God as having as being wrathful, that's with regard to the idol worshippers, v'hainu d'Abba de Rabbi Alexandri. And then that is in fact what Rav Alexandri is teaching to Komar b'Yomahu Avakesh. Sheim lo yinso lohem schus yashmidem v'hainu nami the rova the omar the yesh chiluk bein Yisrael of the kachovim. The continuation of the Gemara will be best understood if we attach the continuation to that which was just said before, that there's a distinction between the way God judges the idol worshippers and the way he judges the Jewish people. And as far as the immediate first comment, that of Rav Alexandri, we will see that God is looking for some kind of merit to spare the nations of the world from destruction. and yet he might not be able to find that merit, and hence they will be the victim of his wrath. And likewise, Rava's comment afterwards, that follows shortly afterwards, that says that there is a distinction between Yisrael and the Ovdei Kochavim, would therefore follow from that which was just said before. So with all of that introduction in mind, let's continue in the Gemara. V'hainu, the Omar Rav Alexandri. Mai dechtiv, v'hoya b'yoimahu, avakesh lahashmid es kol ha-goyim. And it will be on that day that I will seek out, I will request to destroy all of the idol worshippers. Avakesh mimi, from whom will God request this? Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avakesh benigni shelohem. I will consult their records. Nigni, Rashi says, Sefer Zikaron Maaseihem, their records. I will seek out from their records. Im yesh lahem zchus efadeim, if they have merit, I will redeem them. V'im lav, if they have no merit, ashmideim, I will destroy them. And this is, as Tosfos points out, this reflects that which was taught just before under Rav Chinuna Bar Popa's section of Gemara, indicating the difference, or more accurately, under Rav Chamo Bar Chanino's section on the third, fourth wide line of Gemara, where the Gemara said, Lo kashi kam Yisrael kam b'ovdei kochavim, that he is a Baal Chemo, he is wrathful with regard to the idol worshippers. And that's what's being expressed here, that he, if he cannot find merit to base their salvation on, he will destroy them. Continuing, V'hainu v'yomar Rava. And likewise, this is in line with what Rava says. Mai dechtiv im ach loy bei yishlach yad im befidoy lahem shua. Omar lahen hakodesh baruch hu liyisrael. Keshani don es Yisrael, ein ani don oisam kovdei kochavim. When I judge the Jews, I judge them in a way different than the way I judge the idol worshippers. Notice, once again, as we saw on the fourth wide line of the Gemara, Kan Bisrael, Kan Bevi Kochovim, so to here you see a distinction drawn between the two groups. Dichtiv, Ova, 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 Ash, Asimena. With regard to the Gentiles, with regard to the idol worshippers, the Pasuk says, Ova Ova As Imena, which means that they will, because of their sins, they will be punished and eventually destroyed. That's the way I deal with the idol worshippers. However, when it comes to the Jews, there's a Gersa on the side of the Gemara that suggests, Avol Yisrael. But when it comes to judging the Jews, ani nifra mehen, I seek retribution from them, kepid shel tarnagolus, in the way that a chicken eats. The way a chicken eats, if anyone took note of it, they peck away little by little. It might be added that the Jewish people, as opposed to many nations of the world, are constantly being punished, if you will, but that's because it's a constant pecking away to keep them with a relatively clean slate, so that they're always being cleansed. This is in opposition to the way the nations of the world are treated, that they might have a long period of quiet, but when their moment of retribution comes, it's total and final. And with that, one understands why, even though the Jewish people have experienced all kinds of pogroms and inquisitions and genocides and the like, they're still around. Whereas many powerful empires of the world, whether it be the ancient Babylonians or the Greeks or the Romans, etc., they are not around at all. There's no trace of them even. After this bracketed section, there is another reference to Vahainu Dama Rava, which ties in to the topic we were just discussing about the punishment that's sought from the Jews is done in small quantities, ma'at. That will be the subject of the point mentioned right after this bracketed section. We have a note on the inside margin, besocha sograyim, within the bracketed section, mofia oid hasberim laposuk im befidoi lahen shua. We just made reference to that posuk right before the brackets. We have the statement made by Rava, the ach lo, quoting the posuk ach lo bei yishlach yad im befidoi lahen shua. Within the brackets, we have now a second approach to that posuk, and hence we have also incorporated a numbering system. You'll notice right before the brackets, two lines above, there was a one. Davar acher, as we read on in the Gemara, number two, afilu ein Yisrael oisin mitzvah lefonai ki im ma'at kepid shel tarnagolim shemin nakrin bashpa, even if the Jews do few mitzvahs, like a chicken who, when he takes in his food, he pecks away at little amounts. Ani mitzarfen lecheshbon godol. I will take all the few mitzvahs that the Jews do, little here and a little there, and accumulate them to form a large cheshbon, a large accounting. Shenemar im befidoi lohen shua. And here the word shua is taken to be a lotion of Yeshua, of salvation. Dover acher. Bischar shemishavin lefonai, a third approach to that pasuk, that in as a reward for their mishavin. Again, the word shua is taken to mean something else. Mishavin means scream out to me, as reward for their seeking me out and screaming out to me in supplication. Ani moishia osam, I will offer them salvation. As we go on in the Gemara, but thanks to the markings, we, even though the word v'hainu would often reflect to that which was said immediately before, in this case, no, it reflects to that which was said above, under the number one, that we said that the Kodesh Baruch Hu collects from the Jews when he seeks their retribution, he collects from them little by little. V'hainu diyomar Rabbi Abba, mai dichtiv, v'anochi efdeim, v'hemo dibru alai kizovim. Ani omarti efdeim b'mamonu b'olam hazeh, I said, says the Almighty, I will collect from them by causing, I will collect them, I will punish them through their money in this world, kidei sheyizku le'olam haba, that by suffering punishment, financial loss, they will merit having a portion in the world to come. However, they didn't see that I was doing this for their benefit. In other words, I was punishing them through their money for their benefit in order to warrant their having a portion and reward in the world to come. The Hemo dibru alai kizovim, and they spoke against me, not realizing what I was doing. The Hainu di Omar Rav Popi Mishmei the Rova, my dichtiv, vani yisarti chizakti zroisam, vi elai yachshavu ra. Explanation. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ani omarti isorem biyisurim b'olam hazeh, I said that I will cause them suffering in this world, kedei sheyechazku zro'osam l'olam haba, in order that their arms will be strengthened in the world to come. The elai yachshavu ra, but they thought evil about me. In other words, they didn't realize what I was doing. So what one sees with the markings, the triangles helped to create a certain sense of series effect in appreciating the way the Kodesh Baruch Hu judges the Jews, as opposed to the way he judges the Gentiles. We continue in the Gemara with an incident that we also assigned a topic heading on the side, the Nose, Maisa Shel Mifgash Haminim Im Rav Safra. We will have a story where the Minim are the, we'll call them either the non-believers or the early rebellious ones, those who broke off from traditional Judaism. and they meet up with Rav Safra, and they present a question to him, Ushtikoso, and he remains silent, Kishinishal Apirish Posuk. He remains silent when they ask him to explain a certain posuk, a certain verse to them, Utuguvosam Ho Alimo Klapov, and then we'll see how they react with Alimut. Alimut is with viciousness and intolerance toward him. Mishtabeach luhu Rabbi Avo Lamini Rav Safra Dodum Godohu. Rav Safra praised Rabbi Avo praised Rabbi Rav Safra to the Minim, to these non-believers, and Rabbi Avo told the Minim that Rav Safra was a great man. Well, when they heard that Rabbi Avo, whom they knew, that was praising Rav Safra, Shavku le michso de tleisa shonin, they relaxed the tax obligation from him for 13 years. In other words, they freed him from needing to pay taxes. Yumachad ashkehu, one day the Minim met up, they found Rav Safra. They met him, Omrulei, they said to him, or even asked of him, Ksiv, it says, Rak eschem yodati mikol mishpuchos adomo, al kein efkoid alechem eskol avonei sechem. You, referring to the Jewish people, are the only ones that I know amongst the families, the nations of the world, and therefore I am going to visit upon you all of your sins. In other words, I'm going to therefore punish you. So they asked, Man de isle sisya berachme masiple, one who has anger, is one expected to carry out his anger on the ones he loves? In other words, if God is expressing his love and recognition of the Jewish people, then why is it that he is carrying out his wrath specifically upon them? Ishtik v'lo omar lehu v'lo midi. Rav Safra heard this and remained silent. Well, they feel that he's a fraud. He can't answer their question. Ramu lei sudra b'tzavare v'kometzaru lei. They placed a cloth around his neck. Seems like they started to try to strangle him. Also, Rabbi Avo Ashkechinu, Rabbi Avo came and found them doing that. Omar Luhu Amai Mitzarisule. Rabbi Avo asks, why are you subjecting him to this pain? Omrule. So they said to Rabbi Avo, Valav Amris Lon Deodam Godolhu, Velo Yoda Lamemar Lon Pirusha the Hypsuka. Is it not so that you told us he was a great man, and he doesn't know how to explain even this pasuk? Omar Luhu. So Rabbi Avo explains, Amar de Amri Luhu Batanoi. It's true, I told you he's a great man, but that's with respect to his knowledge of the oral law, of the oral Torah. Bekroi mi Amri Luhu, with regard to explanation of the written law, of the verses, of the scriptures, did I say that he was great in that area? Amulei Maishna Atun Diadisun. What's different about you that you do know? We've had experience with you and realize that you have expertise in the verses. Omar luhu anan tishchichinon gabaychun raminon anafshin umainin. Rabbi Avo says, people like me that are regulars, tishchichinon means that we are regulars gabaychun amongst you, and we know that you people do not preoccupy yourselves with the oral law. You preoccupy yourselves with the Bible, with the scriptures. And therefore, Ramina Nanafshin, we place it upon ourselves, we take it upon ourselves, Uma'ainin, and look into it and investigate the depths, the deeper meanings of the Psukim in order to be prepared to answer you when necessary. Inhu, however, Rav Safra and his likes, Lo Maini, they are not regulars amongst you people. They are people that spend all of their time in the study halls, in the yeshivas, in the Bote Medrash. They don't have contact with you people, and therefore they don't look into, they don't study and analyze the deeper meanings of the verses. They dedicate themselves much more to the oral tradition, to the Torah Shebaal Peh. Omrulei, so the Minim said to Rabbi Avo, Lema lon at, so you tell us, what's the meaning of this pasuk? the pasuk that mentioned the God's recognition specifically of the Jewish people, and on the other hand, he punishes them. Amar lehu, so Rabbi Yavol says, Emshel lechem moshel l'mah hadover d'chimeh. I will provide to you an analogy to what may this be compared. L'odom she noshe mishnei b'nei odom. A person is collecting his debts from two people. Echad oevo v'echad sono. One of the debtors is beloved to this creditor, and the other is hated by him. Oyavoy nifra mimenu me'at me'at. The one who he loves, so the creditor comes and collects his debt little by little. Sono, the one who owes the money that is hated by the lender, nifra mimenu bevasachas. He'll come and collect the entire amount at in one shot, and it's much harder to pay a large amount off in one shot. This is exactly what we made reference to above, the difference between the Jewish people that through the eyes of history seem to be an afflicted people and are subject to constant punishment and retribution and suffering, when in fact that is the ultimate benefit that the Jewish people experience. They are in effect paying off their wrongs as they go along, and that is as opposed to the other major empires of the world that had in some cases hundreds of years of peace and quiet and prosperity. But when their time came, when the time came for their being punished, it came in one shot, one large elimination, we'll say. Omar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, May Dichtiv Cholila Loch Me'asos Kadover Hazel Lahomis Tzadik Im Rosha. Omer Avram l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avram appealed to the Almighty. Ribono Shalom, chulin hu me'asos kadover hazeh, let it be foreign from you to do the following, l'homis tzadik im rasha, to kill the righteous together with the wicked. V'loi, is that really so? V'oksi v'chrati mimech tzadik v'rasha. The pasuk indicates that God is, God will cut off the righteous with the evil. So the Gemara answers, "Betzadik she'eno gomor." That may be the case with someone who's righteous, but not completely righteous. Avo betzadik gomor lo. But with regard to a completely righteous individual, he won't perish together with the wicked. The Gemara asks, "But is that really so?" V'hoksiv umi mikdoshi tochelu. The Toni Rav Yosef Al Tikri Mimikdoshi Ela Mimikudoshai. Don't read the pasuk as a reference to my temple or my holy place, but rather from the holy ones, people. Eilu bnei odom shekaimu es hatoira me aleph v'ad tov. I will start my retribution specifically with the pious ones, those who fulfilled all of the Torah from, as we say, from A to Z, or from aleph until ad tov, to the end, from the beginning to the end. So how can you say that if you're dealing with a tzaddik gomor, God doesn't cut them off together with the wicked? We see from this pasuk, which describes retribution, and the retribution begins specifically with the pious, those that fulfilled all of the Torah. So the Gemara answers, Hosam Nami, there too, they are not really to be categorized as tzaddikim gemurim, completely righteous. Kevan shoya biyodim limchois velo michu. The pasuk is describing people that had within their capacity the ability to chastise and to correct the waywardness of others and did not protest and remain silent. As a result of that, havu lehu ketzadikim she'enam gemurim, that even though they may have personally fulfilled the Torah from A to Z, they're nevertheless categorized as tzadikim she'enam gemurim, and as a result of that, the pasuk says that they will be cut off together with the wicked. Rav Papa Rami Ksiv. Rav Papa raises a seeming inconsistency in Psukim. Kael Zoem B'chol Yom. It describes God as being wrathful every day, and even so, they seem to the creatures seem to continue existing. Uksiv lefnei zamo miyamo. But another pasuk says that in front of God's wrath, if He shows His wrath, who would be able to stand up? Lo kashya kan biyochid, kan betzibur. The pasuk indicating that in front of His wrath, no one would be able to stand. That's a reference to an individual. However, when it comes to the community, even though God shows His wrath, the community nevertheless maintains itself, continues on. So that even though within a community individuals die and are punished, the community in general continues. This may very well be a description of the phenomenon we were discussing before, where it seems that the Jews are subjected to the most horrific forms of retribution, but yet, as a community, they continue to exist. The next piece of Gemara is assigned a topic heading. One notices in the outside margin an osei, Zamoi Shel Hashem, the wrath of God. Bilam Yoda Oisoi Rega. Bilam, the prophet, knew the moment of God's wrath. We've assigned to this particular Gemara a long marking that one will find on the left-hand side of the Gemara text. We've called it, and you'll notice right between the Gemara and the Ravenu Hananel, we've written in Zam Hashem. This piece of Gemara deals with the topic of God's wrath. And you'll notice, if you scroll down to Dalet Amud Beis, that this takes up a large part of the Gemara down most of Amud Beis. Tana Rabbanan, we open up with a Tanaic source. As you can see, it's framed off, as we do all our Tanaic sources in the Gemara marking system. Kael Zoyim B'chol Yoyim. The Pasuk says that God is wrathful every day. V'kamo Zamo, how long does that wrath last? Rega. A moment. V'kamo Rega, how long is that moment? Achas mechomesh riboy ushloishes alofim ushmoine meos ve'arboim ushmoine b'sha'a. Zu hi rega. There were a lot of numbers that we just read. We've, for your convenience, written it in above the Gemara. Between the lines, you can see it's 1 over 53,848 of an hour. So it's an infinitesimally small portion of an hour. That is the amount of time that God experiences wrath, bearing in mind that if in 1 hour there are 3,600 seconds, this moment is significantly smaller than that. The Ein Kol Briya Yecholo L'Chaven Oisisha Chutz MiBilam Harosha, and no creature was ever able to calculate that moment, that 1 over 53,848 of an hour, except for the Bilam the wicked. Dichtiv Bei, regarding Bilam, the pasuk says V'yodea Das Elyon. Pasuk says that he knew the thoughts or the thinking of God. The Gemara raises a question: Efshar Das Behemtoi Loi Have Yoda Das Elyon Mi Have Yoda? Is it possible that to understand his beast, he wasn't able to? Would he possibly be able to understand the thinking of the Almighty? The Gemara will then come around and say essentially what the Brisa said already. This you'll find a number of lines later. The Gemara says, so then if we show, and that's what we will do in the immediate next lines, that he couldn't even argue with his animal, let alone understand the ways of God. So what could it possibly mean that he's Yodea Das Elyon? So rather, it must mean that he knew how to calculate the moment of God's wrath. So let us turn back to the top line of Gemara. Efshar Das Behemtoi Loi Have Yoda Das Elyon Mi Have Yoda? Could it be that he didn't understand his beast and he would understand the thinking of God? How in the world then can the Pasuk say V'yodea Das Elyon? Before the Gemara comes around and answers that, the Gemara wants to clarify, what does it mean? My das behemta lo havi yada. What is meant by that, which we just said that he didn't know the thinking or the understanding of his animal? You'll notice to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, we have a tuf that's encircled with a long dashed vertical line indicating a teretz, an answer to this particular question. The question being, what is meant by das behemta lo havi yada? The answer takes up all of the lines that are in the Gemara opposite this particular long dashed vertical line. Be'idna de'chazulei de'avirochev achamrei, when the emissaries of Balak, the king that sent for Bilam to hire his services for cursing the Jewish people, they noticed that he was riding on a donkey. Amrulei, my time alo rachfiso asusio. Why is it that a man of your stature doesn't ride a horse, a more honorable a form of transportation? Amrulehu, so Bilam answered, Biritiva shadoile. My horse, I have a horse, but it's out in the fields. I sent it out to graze in the fields. Biritiva mean the fields. Shadoi, I sent it out there. Miyad, now what happens is the Gemara threads in a posuk that is spoken by the donkey that Bilam was riding. The posuk is included in our Gemara in the inside margin. Before we continue the Gemara itself, let's read the posuk for a sense of continuity. The pasuk says, "Vatomer ha'osan." Of course, this is a pasuk in Bamidbar, Perek Chav Beis, pasuk Lamed. It says, "Vatomer ha'osan el Bilam, haloi anochi asaincha asher rochavto alai me'oicho ad hayoyim hazeh, ha'hesken hiskanti lasos locha koi, vayomer loy." This pasuk will be darshened as we go on in the Gemara. "Vatomer ha'osan, halo anochi asaincha." The donkey miraculously opened up its mouth and spoke and said, what do you mean that the horse that you ordinarily ride is out in the grazing? I am your donkey, indicating I am your source of transportation on an ongoing basis. Omar law. So Bilam answered back and said, "Lita'ina be'amo." Yes, you are my donkey, but as a beast of burden only, not as a means of my personal transportation. Omrolei, so the donkey responds, Asher rochavto alai. That's in the posuk that we read, posuk lamed. What do you mean, just a beast of burden? You also ride on me. Omrolo, that may be true, but akroi be'amo, that's as once in a while, by happenstance. You're not my formal beast of transportation. Omrolei, the animal said back, me'oidcha vi'ad hayoim hazeh. What do you mean, just by happenstance? On a all the time I am your source of transportation, v'lo oid, and not only am I your source of transportation, elo shani oiselecha rechivus b'yoyim v'ishus b'layla. I serve as your beast of transportation, your form of method of transportation by day, and as far as your intimate behavior, I provide your intimacy services at night. Ksiv, and how do we know that? Ksiv hocha haskein hiskanti. We have in this pasuk that term. Ksiv hasam, and we find in the context of a man-woman relationship, vatihi loy seichenes. All that being said, we see from this little interchange that the animal, the osoin, the donkey, got the last word in. And Bilam was unable to debate, to successfully defeat the animal in discussion. That being the case, how in the world could it be described that he knows the ways and the thinkings of the Almighty? So what could possibly be meant by that particular pasuk? Shehoya yodea lechavein oisesho shakodesh boruchu koyespa. He, Bilam, was able, he had the skill of determining the moment that God expresses his wrath. And it's based on this that the prophet said to the Jewish people, Ami, zechor na ma yoatz Balak melech Moav, ume ono oisoi Bilam ben Baor min Ashitim, v'ad ha-Gilgal, leman das tzidkos Hashem. the Navi pleads with the Jewish people, just remember what happened, what took place in the time of Balak, the king of Moab, and what happened between him and Bilam. In order, by recalling that, you will recount the righteousness of God, the kindness of God. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Rabbi Elazar tells us that the Almighty said to the Jewish people, and at this point the Gemara will now explain what was meant by what was said by the Novi, Micha Perek Vav Pasuk Hey. The next few lines we've included in singular quotation marks to give you a sense of continuity. Ami, Ru'u kama tzikos osisi imochem, shelo ka'asti aleichem kol oisen hayomim. My nation, notice the acts of righteousness that I did for you, and that I did not express my wrath all of those days. She'im ka'asti aleichem, had I expressed my kas, my wrath, during that time, the time that Bilam was hired by Balak to curse the Jewish people, lo nishtayim evdi kechovim misenehem shel Yisrael. This expression is a form of euphemism, but for our purposes, since we want to convey the actual understanding, we'll have to say it straight out. Had I expressed my wrath in those days, there would be nothing left of the Jewish people, sorid upolit, no remnant. So, what did I do, says the Almighty? I closed the flow of wrath during that time, so giving no room for Bilam to capitalize on that particular moment and issue his curse. Behind the Kamale Bilam the Balak, and with that in mind, we also can understand what Bilam said to Balak, Ma ekoiv lo kaboy keil, ma ezoim lo zoam Hashem. How can I curse if God doesn't go along with the curse? And how can I show wrath when God doesn't show any wrath? That's what we just said, that during those days, God in fact closed off his wrath, the kamozamo, how long is his wrath? Rega. The kamo rega, how long is a rega? It's true that this discussion was featured at the bottom of Amud Aleph, but for some reason the Gemara, raises the same question and gives a similar answer, in the final analysis it comes out to be what seems to be a slightly different response, as we'll see momentarily. So the Gemara just recently asked, V'kamo rega, how long is a rega? Omar Amemar, V'temo Ravina, Amemar, or some versions have Ravina saying, Rega kememre. A rega is the amount of time it takes to say the word rega. Tosfos, on the second line from the top, raises a question, and he asks, if that's the amount of time that God is wrathful, then what curse could possibly have taken hold in such a short amount of time? Let's see the Tosfos inside. He says, "V'im rega kememre, v'im toimar ma hoyo yochol loimar b'sho mu'etes kozois." What could Bilam have possibly said of a curse nature, a curse-worthy nature, to have had an effect in such a short amount of time? V'yesh loimar hoyo oimer kalem. He could have said that word. Kalem is like the word rega, same number of syllables, and that means destroy them. V'hakodesh baruch hu hofchoi, and God switched it around. He switched the word kalem, v'yomar melech, kidechtiv usruas melech bo. The word kalem is made up of the same letters that the word melech is, and melech indicates kingship, monarchy. So that by God turning off his wrath, though Bilam may have said kalem, God took the same word that he used and switched the letters around, resulting in a bracha. V'Rebbe Eliyahu hoya meforesh she'ein tzorech rak lahaschil kilosa b'oisa rega. He says a different approach, that even though the wrath of God is only a moment, it would have been sufficient for a curse to start at that moment, and it would have continued. In other words, if he would have said an entire sentence of curse, it would have taken hold provided the beginning of his sentence was at that particular moment. And Tosfos goes on to prove that Bilam's intention was to, in effect, issue a lengthy curse. We will turn back to the Gemara. Uminolon de rega have rischei. From where do we know that a rega is the length of time of God's wrath? We have a couple answers to that. Number one, dechtiv ki rega ba'apoi chayim birtzono. We see with our dashed underline that rega ba'apo. A rega is the amount, apo is a word referring to wrath. V'iboy seima mehocha. Chavi kimat rega ad yavor zam. In this pasuk, you see the term rega, that's an amount of time, associated with zam, which is the issue that we were dealing with. How long does Kodesh Baruch Hu's zam last? So in this pasuk, you see it's a rega. Emas rosach, when, what time of day does he express his anger? Om rabai betzlas shoy komaisa. He expresses his anger during the first 3 hours of the day, ki chivro karbalto de tarnagola, when the crown of the chicken is white. So the Gemara asks, call shaita v'shaita michvar chivro, but it has that particular color all the time, and we're describing the moment, a specific moment. So the Gemara answers or clarifies, call shaita is bay suraiki sumiki. The chicken's crown has in it streaks of red, generally speaking. Hahi shaita, the moment of wrath, less bay suraiki sumiki. It doesn't have those streaks of red in it. It goes completely white. And it does this for only a moment. Rabbi Shuman Levi have a mitzar le hahu mino bekroi. We saw the minim on Omid Aleph with regard to Rabbi Avol and Rav Safra. Here they are again, in this case with Rabbi Shuben Levi. They were bothering him by confronting him with different verses. They were challenging him. Yumachad nokat tarnagola. One day, Rabbi Shuben Levi, who got sick and tired of their bothering him, he took a chicken, v'ukme ben kare da arsa, and he stood the chicken between the legs of his arse of his bed, the ayin bay, and he concentrated on the chicken, sovar, and he figured ki mota hahi shaita alte. When that moment comes that its crown turns white, I will issue a curse against that particular min, this skeptic non-believer that's bothering me. Ki mota hahi shaita. When that moment came, nimneim, Rabbi Shua ben Levi dozed off. Omar, Rabbi Shuman Levi, noting that just as that moment was approaching, he dozed off. He came to the conclusion, Shma Mino, one can see from this, Lav Orach Arol Emevet Hochi, the Rachmo Val Komas of Ksiv, that it's not the proper way for one to be engaged in cursing. In other words, I had planned to curse the men. Apparently, from heaven, it was ordained that I should fall asleep and not do that, not issue a curse. The Pasuk says that God's mercy is upon all of His creatures. Uksiv gam onoish letzadik lo tov. And another Pasuk reflects more directly that it is not proper for a tzadik to be responsible for the punishment of someone else. Therefore, it's actually for my benefit that I fell asleep, that I should not be the source of the punishment of that min. Tonu mishmeid Rabbi Meir. We have a Tanaic source taught in the name of Rabbi Meir. B'shol sham lochim menichim kisrein b'roshem. At the moment of day that kings of the world, place their crowns on their heads, u'mishtachavim l'chamo, and they bow to the sun, we'll call them sun worshippers. Miyad koyis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At that moment, God gets angry. Of course, God is angry. He sees His creatures, He sees His creations, worshipping, practicing idolatry, in this case, sun-worshipping. Omar Rav Yosef, lo litzli inish tzloisu de musvi. Rav Yosef says that one ought not daven the musaf shmona esrei, betlas shoi komaisa diyoma, biyoma kamo, the Reish Shosa Biyochid, that one should not daven the Musaf davening during the first 3 hours of the first day of Rosh Hashanah while davening biyochid, while davening privately. Dilma, it could be, came under Mifkidina, since during those hours the rule of law, of letter of the law, if you will, is in charge. Dilma ma'ayni bu'uvdei, b'dach fulei mifchi. As a result of the rule of law being in charge during those 3 hours, the private person who attempts to daven will be subjected to careful heavenly analysis and not pass the test. If that be the case, so how can the public daven tefilas musaf during those hours? Why is it that Rav Yosef is emphasizing that a yochid should not do it, should not daven? Shouldn't the same thing apply to the public? So the Gemara answers that Sibur Nefisha Zechusei, when you're dealing with the public, the amount of merit that is contained within a public is great. So there is a, we can in fact say that the public creates an entity, or it represents an entity that is something that is beyond just an individual collection, just a mere collection of individuals. Because as each individual is concerned, there's fear that they wouldn't pass the test. But when they form a group, when they form a community, a tzibur, they have additional merit. The Gemara asks, well, ihochi diyochid ditzafra nami loi. Rav Yosef was talking about the musaf davening should not be done by a yochid during those first 3 hours. Why does he not mention anything about a yochid, a private person, from davening the shacharis, the morning shmona esrei? Why does he not warn against that? So the Gemara answers, keva di ikot siburo de komatzlu, since during those the early part of the day, the first 3 hours, it's inevitable that there is a tzibur, a community of people that are davening shachris at those hours. Lo komitri, even though this particular person may be davening in private, he nevertheless is able to form a, we'll call it, a spiritual bond or link with the tzibur, with the public that is davening the shachris service at that hour, and he will be spared. The Gemara asks, "V'ho Amris, but have we not said on Daf Gimel, Shalosh Rishonos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev V'Oisek B'Torah, that during the first 3 hours of the day, God is involved with the study of Torah, not with the practice of judgment?" So, why do you say over here, and we notice with our dashed underlining, if you go back a few lines toward the end of the line, you'll see B'Tlas Shoy Kamaisa, we mentioned over there that God is sitting in judgment, but we see from the previous Gemara that during the first three hours, he's involved with Torah learning and not judgment. The first approach to resolve this is April, simply switch it around and say that during the first 3 hours, he is involved with judgment and Torah learning is later. Another approach suggests there's no need to switch around. And we will now explain why Torah and Din are in fact different in their nature, and the warning of Rav Yosef applies as it still stands. Namely, during the first 3 hours of the day, that while HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved with Torah study, one has to be very careful. The Gemara explains. And we've emphasized the words Torah and Din with a geometric form to make it stand out. Torah d'chsiv bei emes. Torah, with regard to which you find the word emes, d'chtiv emes k'nei v'al timkor. Torah is referred to by the term truth. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu oisei lefnim mishuras hadin. The Kodesh Baruch Hu does not bend over backwards or go beyond the letter of the law. He sticks to the letter of the law. It's a very deep, very significant observation to be made over here, that when it comes to the study of Torah per se, one is seeking the absolute truth, the bottom line, or the letter of the law. And as a result of that, by the fact that Kodesh Baruch Hu is involved with Torah study during the first 3 hours, he's not interested in anything other than letter of the law. And therefore, if one appeals to God during those hours, he cannot expect to receive any treatment of mercy. rather treatment of pure judgment, and that could be dangerous. Therefore, a person is advised not to daven during those first 3 hours in private. Din, however, judgment, the loik siv be emes, with regard to judgment, we don't have psukim that associate judgment with the word emes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu oisa lifnim mishuras hadin. Therefore, God is able to do, to practice judgment with mercy and bend the law, so to speak, and go and bend over backwards, as we say. The next few words in the Gemara represent a siman, a mnemonic device to remember the upcoming section of Gemara. Yoim Meid Toraf Be'egel Siman. We have included in the outside margin under the Mivneh heading, after the triangle is featured, we notice a diamond. Memros Shor Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. These are comments made by Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. These diamonds, you'll notice, have colored in tips to distinguish them from diamonds that appear later in the Gemara as that represent a totally different series. Gufo. Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Mai dechtiv asher onochi mitzavacho hayoyim la'asoysom. Hayoyim la'asoysom v'lo l'mochor la'asoysom. Hayoyim la'asoysom v'lo hayoyim l'toyl schoran. This is a reference to that which Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had said on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. Hence, the Gemara uses the term gufa, which is generally speaking a piece of Gemara that had been referred to earlier and is now being focused upon. So this particular comment of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, we may recall, came in the context of how is it that the Kodesh Baruch Hu at the day of judgment, which is associated with Olam Haba, able to give a mitzvah to the Goyim, and we spoke about giving them the mitzvah of Sukkah, when the experience of fulfilling mitzvahs is something characteristic of Olam Hazeh, not the time in the future, not the future world. And that particular point is what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi emphasizes over here. So that having been said, we will go over what he said. The pasuk had mentioned Asher Onochi Mitzavcho Hayoyim La'Soysom. We emphasize the word Hayom and draw inferences. And we say Hayoyim La'Soysom today, meaning in this world, is the time to fulfill mitzvahs. V'lo L'Mochar La'Soysom, not in the afterworld or the next world. That's not the time. That's the time that reward and punishment is meted out. But it's not the time to fulfill mitzvahs. That's something one does in this world, as we saw as well in an earlier Gemara. Only one who prepares on Erev Shabbos has what to eat on Shabbos. And likewise, Hayoyim La'asoysom, this world is the time for doing, V'lo Hayoyim L'tosharon, but this is not the time for collecting rewards. Rewards for fulfillment of mitzvahs, that is something that's specific to Olam Haba. Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Kol mitzvahs she'Yisrael oisiv olam hazeh, bois ume'idois oisom le'olam haba. All mitzvahs that Jews perform in this world come and offer testimony on to benefit the Jews in the world to come. Shenemar, yitnu eideim v'yitztaku, yishmu v'yomru emes. Yitnu eideim v'yitztaku, elu Yisrael. This is a Gemara that we saw on Daf Beis when we were discussing the term used for the holidays of Goyim, and the Gemara mentioned some spell the word with an aleph and some spell the word for holidays with an ayin, and we mentioned that the word Eidehem could appear with the word with the letter ayin at the beginning. So it was in that context that some of you may recall this particular quote. Nevertheless, we see it over here, and Yitnu Eidehem, it means they, the mitzvahs, will offer testimony and thereby justify and vindicate the Jews. And the continuation of the pasuk says, "Yishmu v'yomru emes." That is elu ovdei kehovim, the idol worshippers in that time in the future will hear this testimony and acknowledge it and say true. The Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Kol mitzvahs Yisrael oisim v'lem hazeh. All the mitzvahs that Jews perform in this world come and are responsible for the idol worshippers being thrown on their faces in the world to come. Shenemar, Ushmartem Vasisem, Kihi Chochmaschem Uvinaschem Li'enei Ho'amim. This pasuk, in reference to the Torah, says that you shall keep it and practice the Torah because it is your wisdom and your knowledge. The pasuk uses the term li'enei ho'amim. Neged ho'amim lo ne'emar elo li'enei ho'amim. And in this, with this nuance in mind, melamed sheboys v'terfus l'ekechovim al pneim l'olam haba. From the fact that it says li'enei ho'amim, the Torah then serves as your source of knowledge and strength to the eyes or the face of the Gentiles, of the idol worshippers. And that's what we meant, that they will boast for torfus of the kohen olam haba. The Omer of Yeshua ben Levi, lo osu Yisrael eso egel el alitein pischein peh lebalei tshuva. A rather amazing comment. It says that the whole performance of the golden calf, which when learning the Chumash one sees that as a very depressing and condemning incident, Rabbi Shimon Levi describes it as being an incident that actually serves as a pischon peh, as an opening on behalf of those that want to practice penitence. Baalei tshuva shenemar mi yitein v'hoi levavam zeh lohem yiro osi kol hayomim. We see that when God views the generation of the in the midbar of the desert, they were very special people that God was only hoping that they could would always be like that. Rashi points out, "Mi yitein v'hoyo levavam zeh b'Sinai ne'amar." This was said in Sinai. Alma giborim v'amitzei levavam b'yirasam hoyu. You can see that they are described as being very God fearing, and if that be the case, so how can one figure the whole Egil, the golden calf incident? So it must be that it was a show, so to speak, a charade, if you will, in order to demonstrate the strength of tshuva, of penitence. V'hainu dom Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. And based on this, we can understand the following teaching. Lo David roi lo'isa maisa v'lo Yisrael ruyin lo'isa maisa. David and his encounter with Bathsheba, which when one learns the psukim, one gets an uncomfortable feeling of something inappropriate having taken a place. When one studies the subject with much further analysis, one realizes that that's not the case. Here too, the Gemara is saying that David in that particular incident really wasn't fit or wasn't worthy of having stumbled in that particular affair. And we know that David could have himself overcome the attachment or the attraction to the woman. The pasuk describing David says that he has no the evil inclination has no strength over him. So you'll ask, how is it that he seemed to yield to his temptations with regard to Bathsheba? The Gemara is saying here, and we'll make reference to this on Daf Hey, that it is basically an incident that took place to set the stage for all individuals in the future that want to practice tshuva. They'll see from the David story how far reaching penitence can go. And likewise, v'lo Yisrael ruyin l'oisa maisa, the Jewish people were also not really guilty or participatory in that maisa, referring to the Egel Hazov. Dichtiv, as we mentioned before, the pasuk says, "Mi tein v'yo levavam zeh lohem yura osi kol hayomim." We see that God Himself thought so highly of that generation in the Midbar. Ela lama osu. So if we're describing David as Libi Cholba Likirbi and the Jewish people as being Mi Yitain Vahoyal Vavam Zelahem Yurash Elsi Koa Yomim, so why did they do those things? The Gemara answers at the top of Daf Hey, Lomar Loch Shi'im Chota Yochid. It was a story, it was an incident that took place to set the stage that if an individual would sin, Omrim Lo, we tell the individual, Klach Eitzel Yochid. Go to the other individual, in this case, Dovin HaMelech, and you have hope practice tshuva, the imchotu tzibor, and likewise if an entire community sins, omrim lehu, we tell the community, lehu etzel tzibor, go to the community. Namely, look upon that generation that practiced the golden calf, and yet, through penitence and prayer, they were spared. They were forgiven. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.